a little early to make a commitment. Our goal would be able to put forward the most the candidate cities that we possibly could. We'll be able to determine that once we see where all the cities net out as it relates to all the hosting requirements. We're in discussion with FIFA right now in terms of what's the maximum number of cities. But our goal, Steve, is absolutely to include as many as we can, because the final decision on whether the World Cup is played in 12, 14, or 16 venues, that won't be taken until sometime in 2021. So we have a lot of time to continue to raise the awareness and achieve those goals that I mentioned earlier. And the more cities we can have to spread the wealth, the better for us.
Yes.
Hi, Brian Strauss, Sports Illustrated. This is for Sunil or John, I guess. We were here in 2010 in Toronto talking about the bid for 2022, and you guys worked so hard to put together sort of a comprehensive bid and maybe did so without kind of appreciating what the strengths of the rival bids were. So we haven't heard anything about Morocco, and I'm kind of curious what you guys feel about that bid, what the strengths of that bid are. What's the competition?
Well, we don't know what their bid is going to look like, but as I said, I'm not sure the last decision would have been any different. We'd known the strengths of our opponent's bids, and we did know a lot about them in that case. We documented it, we talked about it, we had charts about it, we just didn't talk about it publicly because you weren't specifically allowed to talk about the other bids. That was part of the rule, and it is here as well, so I'm careful about it. We expect Morocco to put together a very good bid. We expect them to campaign hard. But what the specifics of their bid are going to be, we can't tell you. We know as of today, infrastructure and all of the requirements are much easier to meet in our three countries. But that would have been true, certainly in the two countries that are hosting the next two World Cups as well.
Next question. Anyone?
This question would be for John. Los Angeles recently was awarded one of the two Summer Olympics that were issued by the IOC, and that took place in the time frame of the current administration. What were some of the compliance requirements the IOC had related to things like taxes or visas that are similar to what you guys have to deal with, and how helpful is that in dealing with the current administration to get those things done, which would be seems to be a big issue?
Man, I can't speak specifically to the IOC requirements. That being said, no doubt the current administration is in a beneficial situation because they did just go through the process, at least as it relates to the U.S. And we're in active discussions with them now, and we feel very positive, and they feel quite confident, given the Olympic experience, that they've been through most of the specifics, and there are enough similarities to that as possible.
Next question.
Question first, Sunil. If it's a united bid, how come the U.S. has the majority of the games and the rest have to split the remainder?
Well, not sure if we're splitting the remainder. We had an agreement between three federations. It is a united bid. That doesn't mean that we're hosting the same number of games. The U.S., in terms of infrastructure, clearly has far greater stadiums that can host the World Cup. But this is about three countries coming together. So it's not just down the number of games, and that's one indication. But we had long discussions about it, and we thought our strongest bid would be what we've submitted.
Next question.
Do all the games, is there an intention to play all the games on natural grass surfaces, or will some of them be played on artificial turf?
At this stage, the requirements are natural grass. But this tournament is a long way away, and given the improvements that are happening all the time, artificial, I wouldn't want to predict, but as of now, they'd be on natural grass.
Next question.
And that's certainly the expectation we have.
Exactly.
Anyone else here in front?
Sunil or John, Sunil, I remember you speaking earlier in this process about your hesitation or your willingness to not dive into this process until you had clarity about the nature of the selection process. We've seen some highly prominent and widely reported irregularities with that, and even now, under new FIFA leadership, revelations continue. How confident are you that this will truly remain, and be that sort of transparent, fair process that you seemed you wanted to insist upon before diving into this?
Well, there were any number of criteria we set out. One was we wanted to see what the rules were going to be, and we've now seen those. And some of those included restrictions on behavior of bidders. We're glad those are in place. One of those was a public vote at conclusion. That's in the rules. And the number of checks the FIFA has put in on compliance, both internal compliance, we've had to hire an outside law firm that we pay to watch our own compliance. John's just come back from meetings with FIFA, and throughout those meetings, FIFA had outside compliance people to monitor. We're not essentially allowed to have conversations anywhere with FIFA voters unless we document them and report them to FIFA. So given what happened during the last process and the number of issues that got raised, I think the most important thing for FIFA in this particular process is to make sure that it is a transparent, clean, fair process, and the best bid is selected. So we are fully confident that this is a far better process than FIFA's ever had before. And so, you know, that's why we're in it.
Any other questions? Your name, please.
Robin Glover, Rocket Robin Soccer in Toronto. And so these groups are so ultra small. There's 16 groups, but there's only three teams in each group. That's only three games, and one team will be out by they only play two games. Now, will the groups be concentrated in one city because there's so few games? Or will they be, let's say for Canada, because of the fairness, Toronto's in one, gets one game, Vancouver gets another, and that team travels so far, because this is a huge continent for the countries to travel to. So is it one city for one group, or traveling involved? And will there be a geographical breakdown to say, if somewhere some team like Japan gets in, will they be mathematically or somehow chosen to play on the west coast of this continent rather than somewhere? I know in 94, somehow Ireland got in, and some Boston will now be the host city for that team.
Okay. So let's take the second part of that. The reception of seeding teams, all of that, as we've done a week ago, is random. So whether it's Japan or Ireland, the Irish ended up in Boston, New York, completely by chance. You're nodding no, okay? So you believe it was fixed, which is
incorrect. The groups were fine.
It's not done that way. It's a straightforward draw. On the other question, it's too early to know how the groups would be placed in specific cities. So while Vancouver to Toronto is a long flight, Toronto to New York is not a very long flight. So we can't say at this point. In the last piece, in terms of the number of games, you are correct that some teams will be eliminated after playing two games. However, 32 teams will play at least three games, which is what the format is now. So after you get to 32 and 16 teams are going home, then everyone else is playing at the same level. But we can't get into the specifics yet. We don't know.
Okay, thank you. Was there a question on this side of the room?
Alex and Alice, Fox Sports. I know the bid, one of the great things about the bid is the existing infrastructure. With the bid that you're going to submit, are there any things that are going to be made specifically for the World Cup that are part of it, or is it all just existing infrastructure?
Well, we're not going to be proposing new stadiums in the bid. However, because of the time period in between, if an NFL team in the next 5 years decides to build another stadium, I'm sure FIFA would be open to that and a possible switch, up to the point where we name venues and name stadiums. So that's at least 3 years away. But if there was something on the horizon and a new team was going to build a stadium that was going to be done in 22, I mean, you've got lots of stadiums in Russia and Qatar that haven't been built by the time they were designated. So that's possible. And clearly, there may be other pieces, whether it's hotels or training sites, certainly, that could be part of the final answer in any of the three countries.
But any of them in the bid are specific to the World Cup? If they get the World Cup, this is going to be built?
No, there's no preconditioned stadiums in the bid. So, for instance, we will have We're in discussions, obviously, in Los Angeles of the Inglewood Stadium, or we're having discussions with Las Vegas, but they're not building those stadiums because of the World Cup. The financing's in place, shovels are already in the ground, so we will benefit from them in the bid. But we're not asking anybody to build a new stadium, a new training site, a new airport, or anything. That's one of the proud supports of our bid, which I think we can focus on building the game, not stadiums.
So, just to come back on that, there is nothing in our bid, but I would be hard-pressed to think that in anyone else that's bidding, that there wouldn't have to be a number of commitments regarding if we host the World Cup, we would do X, Y, and Z.
In fact, FIFA's technical standards this time, in terms of how they would grade the bids, will have a factor that's whether that stadium already exists, as opposed to it being built just for the purpose of the World Cup. And they will grade those that are being built just for the purpose of the World Cup, less than the number of first stadiums that already exist.
Okay, next question.
Jeff Carlisle with ESPN FC. My question is for Sunil and John. In terms of reaching out to voters, you know, when will that start? Do you have to wait for the bid to be officially submitted? And what form will that take? I mean, will we be taking formal trips to reach out to voters, or will they be coming to you? You know, how will all that work?
I don't think they'll be coming to us. I'm not sure any voters need to come and see whether our stadiums or hotels or highways all work. But we will see a number of people that are part of the decision-making process, whether that's at our Congress or other Congresses, whether that's at events, or whether that's an individual visits, that'll be part of it, and it'll be split between three countries on geographically and culturally and everything else where we think we have the best presentation. So that hasn't started yet, and I think you'll see that start right out of the first of the year.
One more question.
Jesse has offered to take Asia and Africa. Central America.
One point that I was going to mention earlier that I didn't, but I'll bring up now, is FIFA will conduct an observers or a technical tour across the three countries sometime in the spring. They've not given a specific date yet, but most likely that'll be around April after we submit the bid. They will bring a team here to review all of the submissions.
Question?
Ian Thomas, Sports News Journal. There's been a lot of discussion recently about the FIFA sponsorship portfolio going to this event, or lack thereof in some cases. How much are you guys stressing in the bid about the commercial opportunity that these three companies represent to your position?
Stressing about it, just the opposite.
Oh, I mean, showcasing
that. Stressing the point. Stressing the point.
Sorry.
We believe that between the size of the stadiums, which obviously impacts attendance, the level of hospitality available at stadiums, which affects revenue, and the commercial opportunities that are available to FIFA, this will be by far the most successful financial World Cup. And it's probably a pretty good time for that to happen for FIFA. So the sponsorship program of FIFA, which has been written about, is primarily the shortfall right now to regional sponsorship. That would be a big hit, obviously, in these three countries with a population of 500 million. And with the wealth of the country. So that will certainly be an important part of it. And it is part of the scorecard that people look at, revenues. And so we think that will be very important. And it's already been mentioned and written about in various publications that the television revenues would be greater if the event is in the U.S. So that is not lost upon us, or we will make sure it's not lost on 207 voters, many of whom rely primarily on FIFA for their financial stability.
Question?
Arda Zakarian, CP24. Do we know yet how many games Toronto will host?
No.
No, we're not in that position. I should update from a Canada perspective that there are four cities that are Canada host cities. Toronto is obviously one of them. City of Montreal, City of Edmonton, and City of Vancouver are all working very hard. We have Councillor Grimes here. City of Toronto, working very hard to ensure that the bid book that we present contains all four cities. Next question.
I have a score of goal.com. When the joint bid was initially announced, there seemed to be some kind of discontent with people in Canada and Mexico about the number of games they might be getting, and maybe some fans and some critics questioning why so few for those countries, for the Canadian and Mexican officials. Have you kind of dealt with that, and what do you say to people people from your countries who are saying, why are we only getting so many games, like Mexico, for example, obviously. Some people saying we shouldn't even be a part of this if we're going to get a small power.
From a Canadian perspective, I think we're really pleased to have the opportunity. I think Sunil, you mentioned it earlier that I think the joint bid is much more compelling than if any one country tried to do it on their own. The fact that we're getting 10 matches out of the 80, I think is really exciting for Canadians across the country. The reality is we would have been hard pressed to go it alone with a 48 country competition. So I think we should be really pleased. Personally, I'm really excited, and I think all the people that I've talked to feel very much the same way. So I think, again, it's a much more compelling bid, the fact that we've got three federations doing it together, and the fact that we're getting fewer games, I don't think that should be an issue. It certainly has been an issue for me and people that I talk to.
Well, I've been having a lot of fun since April of this year. We were at the Freedom Tower, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and 30 seconds after I said Mexico's gonna get 10 games, my mother was very famous. I understand. In Mexico, we love soccer. We have a lot of passion for the game. We think we have the best the stadiums in the world. We have definitely many, many stadiums, not the size that are required to do this bid. Also, there is a totally 100% reason in the decision. We are not going to start building stadiums over 500,000 people just because to have a party in the 26th. The money that will come from the society, I think, is best spent in other things than building a stadium. So if, for many reasons, I'm very okay with myself and the decision. And I know that hopefully, if we get the blessing from FIFA to organize this, at the end of the World Cup in 26, they are. I'm gonna find people in the street and say, bad word to me, saying, why 10? But there are gonna be 95% saying, thanks, we had the third World Cup in Mexico, we enjoy it, we show the world that we can do it together, we send a clear message to the rest of the world that half a billion people, for once, they put together, they understand each other, and send a message to open their arms and their countries to receive the rest of the world. But the number 10 is going to follow me for the rest of my life.
Number 10 is supposed to be good at soccer. So, Ives just touched on it perfectly. When we started, the rules weren't set whether the minimum requirements for stadium were 40 or 50,000. Mexico doesn't have five or six stadiums over 50,000. And so, right, could build them. Canada could do the same if the government and the population or cities want to do it. But if anything's been shown in the last few major World Cup events, the thought of building soccer stadiums or building velodromes or anything else that are not used properly afterwards in terms of resource decisions for countries and cities and states, I'll leave that. And I think, frankly, the IOC and FIFA have come to realize that a little bit. And if they haven't, for sure, bidding countries have, because you've seen a number of referenda now for the Olympics, and countries pass, and cities pass. So I think the decision was a practical decision on the infrastructure that exists, one that we talked a lot about, and when we figure out which games are going where, we'll make sure that Desio gets 96% saying thank you rather than 95.
So I think you have your answer, and just one last part. In Canada, it's not about 10 matches, it's about the 8-year runway from 2018 to 2026 and what we can all do for this sport in our country as a developing country for the sport of football, the sport of soccer. So it's incumbent upon all of us to do everything we can, whether it be training fields, whether it be hosting international matches, and doing more.
That's our runway. I think that's the exciting part. The 10 matches is icing on the cake, but it's everything we can do with all the cities and all the support in our country to get us there. So you have our answers. Next question.
There was, by the way, there was in the end a little bit of, you know, good negotiation, fun negotiation. Yes, you'll remember we were at maybe the most impressive or famous soccer stadium in the world, Azteca, which has hosted two finals for a FIFA event, and we were talking with a, we'll leave his name out of it, but an important official of Televisa, which owns the stadium. This was a friendly negotiation, and he was saying, look, you know, we can live with this, this, or this, but we've got to get the opening game. And I said, we can't promise you the opening game. This is before we had even decided to bid together. He goes, we can't do that. And he said, no, we got to have the opening game. And he called Desio over and said, they won't give us the opening game. And I said, I'll tell you what, why don't we pull out? You and Canada do it. And he looks, okay, that's fine. I said, but you can't use American airspace during the event.
Any more questions? If that would be the end of the questions, I'll ask our three presidents to move over to the screen to take a photo op, and it'll be set up for you on your right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here today. Then we'll have one-on-one opportunities with the...